Hi, today's sermon covering chapter 12, those who follow God's will, Abraham. Till last week, we went through the original history, the common history of all mankind, discovering chapter 1 to 11, the four main themes there, 6 days creation, fall of man due to their sin, and the flood judgment, also origin of nations and languages. From this time on, the rest of Genesis from chapter 12 to the last chapter, which is the fifth chapter 50, is all about the historical illustrations of Hebrews and Israelites. Those are the patriarchs of Israelites, including Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and his 12 sons, etc. So let me read the first 1, 2, 3 of chapter 12, the call of Abraham. At that time, his name was Abram, not Abraham. So now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your father's house to the land that I will show you, and I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse. In you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So now we all of a sudden we moved on to switch the gear a little bit. All of a sudden the views changed after the mankind was scattered from the incidents of Tower of Babel. Now God found Abraham not long time after the Tower of Babel. So this Tower of Babel incident describes the story of people living in various situations and environments where language is divided and scattered throughout the world. And now they're focusing on the specific area where Abraham lived, which is the western, the Iraq area. So now the world, the people are divided into different ethnic groups by confusion of language since then. And actually this world clearly goes either way on its way to follow God's will or going to the way of this world according to the word of man, a man's word, also living according to the will of self, ourselves, and the will of Satan, so one or the other. It can be seen that it is divided into two parts. Now as we look at the history, we'll meet the Bible characters. On the two roads where everyone is treated in the same, the one way or the other way. One way following God's will, the other way following our own will or the will of Satan. That's all about the history of the Israelites, which is the main focus from chapter 12 onward. Now that God has given circumstances, different environments that favor these people only, everyone in the sort of the same similar situations and environments, but up to them to choose the way they go throughout their life. If some people lose a little and go slowly and may neglect the word of God, some people they may come back and they have the holy burden in them. Or some other people, they neglect as time goes on and the mindset and the spiritual the relationship with God is getting diluted. It was clear that everyone at that time knew that God existed at that time, and God was everywhere, and they knew that from their ancestors the incidents of Tower of Babel happened because their rebellion and then disobedience. But the way God designed us, He gave us the 100%, the complete free will. So it's up to us whether we decide, determine ourselves to follow God or follow the word of man. So chapter 12 onward, it's all about the story, whether the biblical characters or whoever mentioned in the Old Testament is whether they followed God's word or going to the other way. So what kind of life do we have in this situation and environment we are in? It will be stories, similar stories that make you realize how to live. The Bible tells the story of many people, about 3,000 characters included there. So we are able to meet Adam and Eve through the original history of Genesis. Noah was able to meet through our flood events, the flood judgments. And those who are the origin of nations, including Shem, Ham, and Japheth, the Noah's three sons, also their descendants through the Tower of Babel incidents. Among the Nimrod and others were met. A lot of the amazing, glorious names is mentioned in the Bible. Also, some very evil characters we can learn from the Bible. Again, those two groups went one way or the other way. So, chapter 12 onwards, it actually focuses on the origin of Israelites, which is Abraham. And then the bloodline of Abraham, his descendants, is originated from one of Noah's sons, who is Shem. So the God's will flows through the family of Shem and the three sons of Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Shem had the five sons, Elam, Ashur or Assyria, Arpachshad, and Ruth, and Aram, among whom the will of God flows through the person Arpachshad to Eber, the grandson of Arpachshad. There were two sons, Peleg and Choktan. And among those two sons of Arpachshad, God's will flowed through Peleg. So the descendants continue. The Bible refers to the three sons of Terah, Abraham, Nahor, and Haran. So among them, Abraham flows along. He was chosen according to God's will, his view. And to Abraham was the son of Ishmael's wife, Sarah. Oh, sorry. Abraham had two sons. Ishmael is from, he's the first son from his concubine, whose name is Hagar. And the second son was Isaac, came from his wife, Sarah. God's will flow through Isaac of Sarah, among the twin sons of Isaac, Esau and Jacob. Jacob, the son, Jacob was chosen. Also, Jacob had 12 sons. Among the 12 sons of Jacob, the Judah was actually chosen to carry God's will. Not through Joseph, who appears as the main character of the last part of Genesis, the faith flows along Judah and his sons. Judah was the fourth son of Jacob, by the way. In the case of Judah, all the sons born through his wife El and Onan, and both sons died. And so God's belief and faith flow through his the daughter-in-law's son. So Perez born through Tamar's daughter-in-law. Whose name is Tamar, sorry. Daughter-in-law of Judah. In the end, it will reach to the king, the second king of Israelites, whose name is David, who we all know of very well. This is the flow of faith from Shem, Arpachshad. But actually, when you talk about the patriarchs of the Israelites, it's mainly it referred to Abraham and his second son Isaac, and his second son again, Jacob, and his 12 sons, as represent our 12 tribes of Israel till now. But people may ask whether it's predestined destiny of them, or they are specifically chosen not for themselves or for God to reveal His will through their lives, or if they chose to do so. But when you look at God's character, He allows us, everyone, all of us, to have 100% free will. So it's up to us to choose what to do. It's up to us to choose to go God's way. It's up to us to have a firm relationship with God. So when you look at who's chosen to carry out God's will and faith, and some of them, they might have turned back from them temporarily, but they had a holy burden in them while they lived. So eventually they came back to kneel down before God and repent. Or some of them, they kept the faith throughout their lives. So whoever at the end obeyed to God and surrender totally God, he ended up carrying out the faith till the God himself came here for us to die for us. So all those God's redemption mission was carried out through the people and their bloodline, of whom were willing to obey to God, who had a relationship with God. So that's the way God works through humans, mankind. So let's go back to the Word of God. When you look at, particularly in Genesis, it has lots of promises. It doesn't talk about the commandments or laws and the rules and etc. But when you look at God's character and look at the big picture, the way how God works through us, who obey to God, essentially the same thing, God's promises. It's mentioned many times in the book of Genesis. Also, God's laws and commandments in the subsequent books of Torah. It's all about showing His grace and His love. It's written for us to follow, to be distinct, to be differentiated, to be holy in order to live with God along according to His principle, heavenly values. So we can be differentiated from the evil nature of human mankind. So it's really revealed different forms. But from the Genesis, from very early of the book of Bible, and the chapter 2, and the first two chapters of Genesis even, it talks about Jesus, also how He will reveal His mission. And in the end, in the end of God's promise, He's going to be the judgment seat. So all of us, it's completely up to us what to do. But eventually we'll be judged by God, who is only eligible to do so. Now He promised to come again to reveal His kingdom and to redeem us, to have a relationship with us, to live together as it was designed from the very early stage of the human history. So God is way ahead of us. So we can ask, what kind of life is the way of life and blessed way to human beings? Through the Word, from Genesis to Exodus, God continues to speak only of His will from Mount Sinai since the Exodus. So everything from chapter 12 and onwards, through His amazing intervention to drive Israelites out of Egypt, to bring them to the Mount Sinai, of which purpose was to give them the written word of God, the commandments, to be holy, to be priest nation of Him, to carry out His mission again. She was disconnected from the very early stage. All those stories of mankind written in the Old Testament is all about the consequence of the wrong choice of humans. God actually told us everything. What's going to happen if we choose one way, what will happen? If we choose the other way, what will happen? And God is constantly crying out, come, come to me and repent. Live together with me. I want to have a relationship with you. That's written throughout different stories, old stories actually, in the book of Genesis, till the end of the Bible. If some people disobey, like Adam and Eve did, because of their sin, the death came to the world where we live. Even though they disobeyed, it didn't seem like they had an intermediate punishment. When a person makes a mistake, but eventually the death was linked to their life. It became the predestined destiny in the future. 900 years later, they eventually died. The same thing, Abraham and his descendants, and all of us, we may disobey, everyone indeed, but the immediate punishment is not be visible or tangible. But your record is in God's word. And when he comes again, for the final judgment, it will be remembered. So some people may live with holy burden, so it may become the driving force for us to go back to God and kneel before him and repent, that we can redeem through his the offering and sacrifice done by Jesus. We have another chance to live along the word of God, to carry out his mission, which is like the mission Israelites had at that time in the Old Testament. So God doesn't leave the sword for the sword of immediate judgment according to the feelings of that time about the wrong choice of human. But he constantly giving another chance for us to go back to God. That's what happened. That's all about the stories in the book of Genesis. God is constantly seeking for a man who's willing to listen to his word, his voice. Abraham was that person. God was so delighted. He willingly chose him to reveal his redemption plan till himself come as a human form of humans to forgive all the mankind, to save us. The Bible as a whole, it talks about the story of faith, story of choice, and its consequence. And what happens as a consequence of their choice, either the good choice or bad choice. Since chapter 12 of the book of Genesis and onwards till the end, the model of the faith, a faithful person, a God's servant, you're always referring back to Abraham. When you look at the story, I mentioned the details, chapter 12 onwards. Abraham was an amazing guy who basically has a full reliance on God. So you can learn lots of things from his life. So it's a very important point here, also including chapter 1 to 11, which is original and common history of all mankind. But from this point, from chapter 12 onwards, God's promise will stick to Abraham and his descendants, God's redemption plan, the bloodline of Jesus, started from Abraham, went through his descendants. God made a promise to him. As we read from the verse 1 to 3, so God gives everyone in this world a fair life opportunity to be saved. He's justly blessed. Unfortunately, there are some people, there are those who cannot realize this, they cannot enjoy the blessing. However, among the people in the Bible, some people who enjoy the blessing of God and become the channel of God's will. The Bible doesn't explain exactly exclusively about why it is through the person, those people, it seems to be chosen, but through the principle of the personal ministry of God, based on his relationship with God. The principle that their choice, even my choice today, tells us what kind of future outcome will be made in my life. That's according to those principles of God's personal ministry. We believe that God is alive, and he seeks anyone who is willing to listen to his voice, who is willing to carry his mission, his prestigious word, and the living word. We cannot deny that we are people who believe in the promise and want to live according to the promise. For example, chapter 11, the book of Hebrews, lots of models It's called the chapter of faith, the faith chapter. Lots of faithful models are listed and described. The first one, it started from Abraham. So let's have a close look into his life in this part of the book of Genesis. And we can learn why God was so delighted. He committed himself to stick to his life and his descendants, to patiently waiting to save all of us and flow his mission, his love, his great plan through his descendants. So if you read the events of Old Testament well, the Bible is not a magical story where everything is done by praying or by predestined life. In a world taunting God, abusing the hating believers, they survived not by their ability, but they have a full reliance on God. And God actually drove them out of their enemies, also used them to reveal his characters, his Almighty, whoever ended up obeying to him. So believing in God until the end and trusting his promise, that's the key. Knowing the presence of God in every single second, hours, every single day of our life is the key. That's what Abraham had throughout his life. So look at the map on the screen at the moment, please. So from chapter 12 onwards, it's specifically focusing on that area where the Middle East, where Abraham came from, today's geography is the western part of the Iraq. And then he was called to leave his house, where his relatives and families are. And then he was called to be and where we nowadays we call Israel. Please look at the map again on the screen. So where God called Abraham and his descendants, that's actually a cross junction of the three major continents. The power stream try to invade other areas, they have to go through actually that area. So God intentionally called Abraham to a specific area where nowadays Israel. The nation Israel is sitting at the moment. But nowadays it's fully surrounded by the Muslim countries. But still at that time, it was a very evil country. Couldn't find anyone who had a relationship with God. But God called Abraham to conquer that land. So through him and through his descendants, God wanted to reveal himself, to reveal who he is, and to make him known throughout the world by using Abraham and his families and his descendants. So when you look at God's plan, there are lots of reasons that we can see many reasons why God called there. Those specific area, without actually passing through Israel, or the path along the land by the Mediterranean Sea. For example, the ships cannot be parked except that area to get into the land, inner land. Although from the top to bottom, from the European country to Asia, Asia to Europe, also Asia to Africa, or vice versa, also Africa to Europe, or vice versa. Actually, they have to go through the small land. So when you look at the color marked area on the screen at the moment, those are even in ancient history is recognized as a very fertile land, which had one of the major ancient civilizations present. So those areas are marked as red, That's a pretty much all the area is covering the Old Testament and New Testament, whole the Bible is talking about in terms of geography. So let's go back to Abraham's life. And he lived at the end part of the Euphrates River. It's called Haran, which is like the western part of the Iraq, as I mentioned. And he could actually cross to make a shortcut to get to where he was called, which is to the land, promised land, the Israel. The land of Canaan, because that's there's a desert, so he had to go around. He had to go up where now that is where Syria is located. So before he moved down back to the promised land, his father Terah died. Actually, when he left, there are four people. Abraham, his wife Sarah, and his nephew Lot, and his dad Terah. But in the middle way, where Syria is located, his dad, his father Terah died, and after buried his father there, the rest three of them, they moved down back to the promised land to settle there. As you can see on the screen, there are lots of rivers. Also, it was a main the reason people wanted to take the control of that part of land to control the power to keep the market, also the fertile land. The Mediterranean Sea, when you look at the average depth, it's very shallow compared to the other part of the seas in the world. So all those fertile ingredients and components actually ended up setting wherever it's streaming down to make rivers around that area on the seashore. So it is very important to understand which area is talking about from chapter 12 onwards till the end of the Bible. So as it's shown on the screen at the moment, it just sets out how God's will flew through since Noah to Abraham and his the patriarchs of Hebrews. So as I mentioned in earlier, the Abraham's ancestors who carried God's faith go all the way back to the Noah's one of sons, the Shem, and his descendants till Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. The screen at the moment is showing the families, family tree, and from Shem all the way down to the Abraham, and that actually shows all those the patriarchs and Shem's descendants until Abraham. It showed where actually they lived, and it really shows that the ancient names of each area in the Middle East. All around the Mediterranean Sea, between basically Turkey to Persia, including Israel and Lebanon and Iraq. Those ancient names actually originated from Shem's sons and his descendants. And the Shem's descendants, it showed that they settled around the Middle East. So the name of Hebrew, lots of scholars, and we actually admit that it probably originated from Shem's, one of the grandsons, Shem's son Arpaxad. He carried God's faith, and Arpaxad's son, one of sons whose name is Abel, which is the origin of the name Hebrew. So from Shem, Arpakshad, and Eber, the map on the screen is showed where Eber lived. You can find a lot of ancient history, the evidence from there. When you talked about the Tower of Babel, the Nimrod actually lived where actually the Abraham, his family, lived before he was called by God. So the area where Eber lived, it is actually the same area where the Tower of Babel had been driven by the Nimrod and his family. So Arpakshad's son, Eber, who is the direct ancestors of Abraham, also Abraham lived on that same area before he was called by God. The name at that time, when God, Abraham was called, the area of name was Haran. He's from Haran. Oh, sorry, I gave the wrong name there. You know, where originally Abraham and his family lived, essentially all the way go back to Shem's son Arpakshad, and Arpakshad's son and Eber lived in the same area as where Nimrod lived and where Tower of Babel most probably happened, which is named called Chaldean Ur, where the Abraham, his family, lived before he was called, right? The Chaldean Ur. And then after he left according to God's calling, he went all the way up to the area where it's red colored on the map at the moment, which area is called Haran, where Abraham's father, Terah, died. It's basically the northern part of Israel, and nowadays is where Syria is located. But at that time of Abraham, that name was Haran. Again, the Haran is another son of Shem, Arpakshad's brother. So all the Shems and his descendants lived around there, the Middle East area. So when you look at Shem and his descendants' names, it all match really well up with the ancient names of the different areas and geographically shown on the map at the moment. Again, from Egypt to above Egypt, and from Israel and Syria, and all the way down to the Chaldean Ur, along those two rivers. And along those geographical names mentioned in the Bible, those chapters covering Abraham's life, also matching archaeological evidence we all have nowadays, we can pretty accurately infer the Abraham's life and where pathway he moved. So again, it's pretty important to remember those map at that time of Abraham when he was called by God. Okay, in summary again, Chaldean Ur to Haran, and after his father died there, and eventually moved to the land of Canaan. So knowing those geographical, the map in mind, it really helps us to understand the stories, subsequent stories from chapter 12 onwards. So when you look at the Bible, the part of the all those chapters where Abraham's life is mentioned, a lot of people say that Abraham is from Haran. For the sake of guessing or inferring and Abraham's life and his pathways during his life, the Terah, Abraham is so called, he's from Haran. That pretty much shows that his father Terah and his ancestor lived around Haran, and his Terah moved to Chaldean Ur. where Abraham lived when he was younger. And then went back to Haran, and where the Terah, Abraham's father, died. And it really shows that one of the examples and incidents that clearly shows Abraham's full obedience. His basis, his everything, his friends and families, his house, his belongings, everything was well settled the Chaldean era. But that call to leave, I chose you, I'll make you great, a great nation. I'll make your descendants like uncountable in all of the world. And Abraham believed that, so he left everything where he lived, where it's Chaldean Ur, and moved back to where his father was from, which is Haran. He just listened, he was able to listen to God's voice. Basically, he communicated with God on a daily basis. And he listened, actually took the action to obey what he has to obey to God. According to his will, Abraham eventually moved to the land of Canaan. Not taking many verses from the beginning of chapter 12, which is the starting point of the Abraham and his family story. Lots of things are showing there. For example, verse 10 onwards, it's showing what happened during the Abraham's life. And it just illustrates that his lifestyle, the way how he lived. For example, when you look at the verse 10, now there was a famine in the land, the land of Canaan, where Abraham lived. And Abraham went down to Egypt to actually get some food for his families. And lots of stories happened. The Egyptian tried to take his wife Sarah. And in any circumstances, when he was in good situation or he was in danger, it shows he had a full reliance on God. They show and for example, on the verse 13 and 14, it mentions a pharaoh in Egypt. So it really matches up with the Egyptian history. We can see from out of Bible as the Egyptian's history and the archaeological evidence there. So this is another hint there. We can match up the biblical history to what we know from the secular education. Again, going back to a bit more details about Abraham's life, we can actually pretty accurately measure his ages during the major events of his life. When they moved up to Haran, where Terah died, the Bible mentions that Abraham was 70. When he was called, Abraham was 70. Abraham was 70 years old, and his father Terah was 145 years old when he died on the Haran. Yeah, so he was about 70 years old when he left Haran and went to the land of Canaan. As we all know, even though he was promised before he left his hometown, Chaldean Ur, even though he was promised as per verse 1 to 3, he'll be the blessing, a great nation, and he didn't get a son. A single son, as per God's promise, but he didn't worry. As we all know, Isaac was born when Abraham and Sarah is physically is not reproducible. This is a typical example the way God works through people who are the obedient people. God tries to reveal his plan not according to man's idea and man's will. He just uses the way to show he is alive, which way according to our logic. It's not rational at all, but it's shown in the Bible. It's happened by God, not by our ability. It seems Abraham's first son, through his concubine, whose name is Hagar, that Ishmael was way older, way stronger than Isaac. But Isaac was chosen. And Isaac had two twin sons, Esau and Jacob. Indeed, both of them, they were not perfect. Esau was stronger and more brave, but Jacob was more like a cheeky. But God always didn't choose the stronger ones, but choose the weaker one to reveal his power through the weak, who was willing to rely on God's protection, and who acknowledges God's presence in their life. So during our stories here, there are a bit of the literal errors. Chapter 12 and 13, it was often misused to say the Bible is wrong, but it's not wrong. There was a couple of examples, several errors, which is mistakenly translated. For example, the way Abraham's age was written, or where he lived in a specific time of his age. When you match up, sometimes it didn't match well. But when you read whole the story, you can see which one is error, which is mistakenly translated. And so, some traditional views of the way taking Bible, some people believe that we have to take the Bible as it is, as the word by word, which is very true, but we have to acknowledge that it was translated through the long period of the time, through many people translated two different languages from the original letter to the other. So we have to acknowledge that there are some errors literally existing there, but it doesn't distort that the very minor errors. It doesn't distort the main story to be delivered to us from God. So the point is that as you read the Bible, we have to read it word by word. But if there are any mistakes, and very few minor mistakes, that's very obvious to see when you read the whole Bible having a big picture. So we do believe that the Word of God is done by God's impression. The Word of God is directly from God, from Holy Spirit. But at the same time, again, the literal is translated. We have to acknowledge that the minor errors. Indeed, we should be able to find that once you read all the details there. So it seems quite simple. Also, if somebody may feel it's boring to talk about this aspect of the Bible, but indeed, it's really important to form the basis. The theology of individuals as we read the Bible, when we take that information into our heart. So let's get ready to read the exciting part of the Bible, the Old Testament, which is the second part of the Genesis from chapter 12 to 50, which is quite fun indeed to read through, because there are lots of stories about Abraham and his sons and descendants. Which is it is the origin of Israelites through the nation that Jesus came to this world to die for us. So a very important critical part to understand the way God works, also God's intention. So again, when you look at about 3,000 characters shown in the Bible, looks different people spread to different part of the world since the Tower of Babel instance. People we call nowadays different races. But indeed, we are a same race, a single race human is human. We all originated from Noah, his sons. I started from the single point in Tower of Babel. And since then, different ethnic groups existed. They spread to different parts, and one of them, and the Shem's sons, and through Arpakshad and Eber, who is origin of the Hebrew, and moved on to Abraham, who was chosen not by what he has done, purely because of his faith on God. And all the stories are started from there. But let's remind ourselves, God's plan, the faith, didn't go through them because of what they've done. Because of their faith and because of God's grace, they were mentioned here. There are only two groups. There's no different races. We are, under God's view, we are all children of God. But there are only two groups who choose to follow God's word, or who choose to neglect God's word and also follow the word of man, and the word of Satan, and the way of our greed. So what God cares is about those two groups. The consequence is ours. Because we are weak, let's rely on God. Let's cry out to allow us have His grace to come back to Him, even though we sin every day. Let us determine ourselves to kneel before God and to hold on to the truth. It's given to us through an uncountable number of lives who died for God throughout the history, from Abraham's life throughout the Dark Age, and uncountable number of missionaries. So we have this the valuable, invaluable word of God in us and on our hands. Let's live with it. Let us pray.